Beloved congregation, I ask your attention this evening for the 20th Lord's Day, the Lord's Day 20. What dost thou believe concerning the Holy Ghost? First, that he is true and co-eternal God with the Father and the Son. Secondly, that he is also given me to make me by a true faith partaker of Christ and all his benefits, that he may comfort me and abide with me forever. This evening, we have to talk about the Holy Spirit. And there are three special things that we will talk to you. The first thing is the person of the Spirit. The second, the receiving of the Spirit, and then in the third place, the gift of the Spirit. This first the person, and then the receiving, and then finally the gifts of the Spirit. Always it is necessary that we know something of our doctrine, the doctrine of the Holy Trinity, but also the doctrine of the third person in the Trinity, namely the Holy Ghost. And of course, you know that in the first Lord's Day already, then the question that is asked, how many things are necessary for us to know? And when we speak about the first Lord's Day, then we emphasize the necessity of a sanctified knowledge. In other words, we can have knowledge in our head and we must not cast that away. Hellenbroek, he had taught us in his question book that an historical faith that is well necessary, but it is not enough. And there is a text in the Bible that said that a soul without wisdom For knowledge is not good. I will also this evening, before that I come to the explaining of this catechism, I will also take some statement out of the reasonable service of Brakel. Amongst the old people, they have heard about his works so many times, and I think there is still people that have some of his works in their homes. It is too bad that it never was translated in our language, because in those two volumes there is so much, such a treasure. I think that especially also that work that was in all well reprinted well 30 times, and still there is no people that is reading those books and studying in those books, because the Lord had given that man much wisdom. But he made a statement in some place, namely, fill your mind with historical knowledge. And if it please the Lord to regenerate you, then the Holy Spirit will use it. Maybe some people would say, is that biblical? Does that statement have ground in the Word of God? And then I will say yes. The best example that I can take this evening, that is the Apostle Paul. The Lord comforted that man on the road to Damascus. And he had much profit in his ministration from what he had learned when he was young. You can realize that also in his writings. You know what Peter had written or write in former days, and what he still have, and John too, that is all inspired by the Holy Spirit. But the language that Paul used in the epistle to the Romans, to the Galatians, to the Ephesians, Thessalonians, Timothy, then you have to come to the conclusion that the wisdom that that man had received when he was young, that that was later on for the church a great prophet. But what I will bring out to you this evening in regard to the Lord's Day 20, that is this, that a sanctified knowledge for our own heart and soul, that that is above everything necessary for eternity. There is so many people that have it in their head, and they make, alas, no difference between their head and their heart. And we have an example in the life of John the Baptist. If now that man had all his knowledge and wisdom in his head, then he had lost that when he died, when he was beheaded. But now that man, he had it in his heart, and that was wrought by the Holy Spirit. There is even people that will not deny the necessity of experimental knowledge. But still, when it comes to the point that they can say something of it, then you hear nothing. And even that it is in a rich measure, that means not some, that means now, even that it is something that the Lord had taught us, and that the Lord had explained to us, or that he had given us, then we have something that shall remain with us forever and forever. That man who was born blind in John 9, that man, he said time and again, when he was called to give an explanation of what had taken place there in the temple, then he said, one thing I know, I was blind and now I see. Life, congregation, that is experience. It goes not without our heart. Because you read that already, that in Romans 5, where Paul speaks about the hope that never shall be ashamed and made ashamed. And then he said, because the love of God that is poured out in our heart by the Holy Spirit, whom is given unto us. Thus, we have to emphasize also this evening the necessity of an experimental knowledge. Of course, there is enough that people take to himself which is not founded and grounded on the Word of God. There is people that come in ecstasy about spiritual things, and they go with that in the air, and they think they are happy, and if they die they go to heaven, but they give himself never, never on account whether that it is founded and grounded in the eternal word of God. Years ago, there in Allener Street, there was a man, because for my time, but I have heard it so many times from people that is now no more with us. But he was there living on a little farm, I think, an old man, known by God's people. They have much credit for that man, but he could not read. No, never. And as sometime that man that received something from the Lord, he was many times in doubt and in strife. The devil was so many times behind him. And then sometime 5 o'clock in the morning, then he go to the other side of the street. There was a converted man living. And then he knocked on the door of on the window, whether that man awoke already. And then he sat there, I am in trouble. I have some words, but I don't know. I think, well, that it is in the Bible, because I have some power and sweetness out of it. But where it is in the Bible, and that devil that bothered me the last night so much, that it is not in the Bible. And then that other man, he had much more wisdom, ook in the Bible. He said, there and there, there is the text. And then he said, thank you, and then he runs away. Yeah. So glad that man was. When he heard from that other man that it was in the Bible. Yeah. That it was in the Bible. Because, congregation, if it is not in the Word of God, then it have no ground. And then it is wrong. And then we mislead our soul for eternity. Therefore, the necessity that lays there for everybody, make my footsteps firm in thy word. And now, of course, we must, you know that, you have heard that your whole life, we must be born again. And we must engraft it in Christ. We have to become one with him. And now his person, the person of Christ, the second person in the Trinity, his life, his death, his resurrection, his ascending into heaven, his sitting at the right hand of the Father, that can have profit for our soul only by the power and by the implying of the Holy Spirit in our heart. And then we shall have the fruit of it for our own soul. Thus, You can well realize, congregation, how now necessary it is that we have knowledge of the work of the Holy Spirit in our heart. God's common way, that is first of all to give us the working of the Spirit in our heart. Later on, then the necessity of the knowledge of the person of the Spirit that comes on the foreground. I have read to you this evening John 16. And there in verse 7, Christ, he said, it is expedient for you that I go away, that I go to my Father. Why was that no so expedient? Why was that so necessary? Because we are all men seeking and looking for rest. That is owed to our nature. But it is so necessary that the Lord made us concerned to receive back what we have lost in paradise. And now in the ways that the Lord lead his people, there come first a time in our life that we know that there is a God, holy, righteous, just, merciful, gracious, the God of all grace. And that we may learn to call to the God of all grace for that grace that is necessary to live and to die. But of course there is a second person, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And Christ himself, he said in John 17, and this is life eternal, that they know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Now, there is a revelation of Christ in the promise in Genesis 3 verse 15. There is a revelation of Christ through the word of God. But there is also a personal revelation in our heart. And now the work of the Spirit that is always in the heart of God's people, to give them never rest, durable rest, and continually rest until that they come to the knowledge of a triune God. I tell you not in this evening that all God's people come to that knowledge. No. Very few. But well, that the necessity of it is revealed and is bound to their heart. And that they are laboring with that. There are several examples in the Word of God. There was in the time of Elijah a woman that saw that prophet almost every day walking down the street where he was living with his servants. And then one day she talked about that with her husband, because if you are married then you have to talk together about those things. And as he said, he asked her husband whether that he had objection if she would ask the prophet and the servant to come in their home. She had a nice room, there was nobody there. And she thought that must well be a wonderful thing if he can have that man in her home. She talked about him as an holy man. But she thought, when he come in my house, then he will pray for the meals, right? And I will talk to us. He will instruct us, because it was a prophet. And that man had no objection, you know that. Thus, she asked him, and he came in the house, and she was happy. Oh, what happy was that woman. She would well sign up for the whole life that he stayed there. But of course, it came a time that the prophet had left there. And then the servant of that prophet, he had also the benefits of that prophet when he was there. He thought, yeah, we have never given board. It was all for nothing. Thus, what could we do for that room? Maybe by the king or by the captain, that there are troubles in their house, in their life. And then he asked that woman that they could do something for her. But then that woman, she said, no, I am living in the midst of my people. There was nothing to do. She was living in the midst of God's children. That is the meaning of it. Time and again company, nice company, talking about the ways of the Lord. And then all the people that believed this yoke was converted, they converted together, right? And that is what we desire, or not? That is what we desire. Nice company, eh? But then finally, yeah, she had no shelter to me. Now, she received the shelter. That shelter died. They called the prophet back to their home. And you know the results. But 7 years later, there was a time that she had to leave. That she left behind her all that she had. And it came all under the jurisdiction of other people. And when she came back, then she had nothing. And then there was something to do by the prophet, by the king, and by the captain for her. When she came in distress. And so it is now spiritual in the life of God's people. I would say this, maybe then you can all have followed, because I think now till this time you know well a little my language and what I will bring out. If we now become uncomforted, will there come a time that our guilt and our sin is laid open for us? Will there come now a time in our life that we are realizing that the law condemns us? That the law no mercy. Then the necessity of Christ had come in our life. Same as in the days of Ruth and Naomi, when the barley harvest and the wheat harvest was done. And no more income. Then the necessity of Christ that came. And now it is the Holy Spirit who make room for Christ. And it is God the Father that gives Christ to that people. That is the way that the Lord helped with his people here in this world. In other words, if Christ had remained here on earth, then the Holy Spirit never could come down in the midst of the church and in the heart of God's children. This Christ he must go away. He could not stay here, that means, with his bodily presence. And there is so much involved, people. There is a time that the Lord allure his people. There is a time that the Lord draw his people with the cords of love. There is a time in the life of that people that in every sermon there is something to the joy of their heart. But that is not remaining. They stay not there. No. There come a time and then it is, as you read in Psalm 63, that they come in a land dry and without waters. And then eternity closer and closer to. And death is in face. They have to meet the Lord, and they know God for their heart and no surety for their soul. And the experiences that they have, they lay so far behind them, they cannot go back to them. No, sometimes they try to do that, but it is a great disappointment in their life, people. A great disappointment. They look up in the Bible places where they have so much comfort out, and they look and they look. No. Old riders, they have some they can well eat them. Really? And they look to those old riders, but no. No. They are reading sermons after sermons. And they so dry as a stick. How is possible that they had before so much out of it? And now? Now nothing. Letters. Words. Sentences. And then the question that come, was it ever true? Was it ever true? Was it not an historical fate? Was it not a temporary fate? They come in the corner of. And people, if you never come there, then the Lord can never in your life release you. and redeem you and confirm you. Why that I say all those things this evening? I say that to instruct you, because the catechism, that is a book of instruction, instructing in the Christian religion. In the Christian religion, that means in the way in which the Lord led his people. And now, when I come back to the Holy Spirit, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit is with the Father and with the Son, true and eternal God, from all eternity. When the Lord created the world, that was not only through Christ, but that was also by the Holy Spirit. Thou sendest forth thy Spirit, they are created, and thou renewest the face of the earth. That is the Holy Spirit in creation and in providence. The same do you find in Psalm 33, verse 6. Same thing. And then in Genesis 1, there you read also about the Holy Spirit, that Spirit was moving upon the face of the deep, moved upon the face of the waters. Thus that Spirit that was there also laboring in the work of the creation. But more than 4,000 years later, then the Spirit that came down here on earth on the day of Pentecost. And now by the different prophets in the Old Testament, that Spirit that was foretold already, predicted, that Spirit was there, but that Spirit would come one time. Christ himself, he spoke also about the coming of that Spirit. In several sermons he refers to that. And then after that, Christ had what? Merited that Spirit for his people in the way of his active and passive obedience. Because we are natural people without the Spirit. By nature, there is in all of our heart our own spirit, a devil spirit, a sinful spirit. But now that Holy Spirit that had to come in our heart, and that have to dwell there in our soul, and not as a power, no. The Socinians, they say that, and as some idea, no, but the Holy Spirit that is a person, a real person. It is a person. We can resist the Spirit. You cannot resist that wall there. No. We can vex the Spirit. You cannot do that in tree. We can cleanse the Spirit. You cannot do that with stone. We can light upon the Spirit. Thus there must be, that must be in person. And we can, in accordance to Ephesians 4, we can grieve the Spirit. That are all texts in the Bible, all texts that refers to the Spirit as a person. And that is what in the 20 Lord's Day in the first place is preached. Then there is a second thing in regard to Christ as mediator of the church. The connection between Christ as mediator and the Spirit in which it comes out that he is a real person. But we let us sing before. 337. Direct my footsteps in thy word. From sin's dominion save my soul. From man's oppression set me free, that I may yield to thy control. 337, the third and the fourth stanza. To talk about the person of the Holy Spirit in relation to Christ as mediator. In the first place, the Son of God is anointed with the Holy Spirit in Proverbs 8. Ordained to become the mediator of the church. In Isaiah 11, there you find that the Holy Spirit was resting upon Christ. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom, and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. The Holy Spirit came upon Mary in Luke 1, verse 35. The Holy Spirit descended upon Christ in the form of a dove when Christ was baptized in the river Jordan by John. Then you read in another chapter in Matthew 4 and in Luke 4 that the Holy Spirit have led Christ in the desert. You read also in Luke 4, verse 14, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, that Christ returned again to Galilee. Then in Hebrews 9, verse 14, in regard to the suffering of Christ, there you find there how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And then in regard to the resurrection of Christ, there Paul speaks about that in Romans 1, verse 4, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. And then the last text that I will give you this evening, that is Romans 8, verse 11, that refers to the resurrection of the dead in the judgment day. And then it said, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Thus you can realize, congregation, how that Holy Spirit as a person, in the first place, is laboring with the Father and the Son in regard to creation and to providence. But in the second place, how that he is related to the person of the Son as the mediator of the church. And now in regard to God's people, it is so that only the Holy Spirit, he is the one that glorified Christ in our heart. He takes away all that is outside of Christ. Because our fundamentals have to be taken away in our life, shall that only fundament that is Christ be laid in our soul, and that we are resting upon him. And now, in the guidance of God's people here in the world, now that Holy Spirit that regenerates God's people, but that Holy Spirit that also that leads into all the truths. The Spirit, he speaks not of himself, but he declared what Christ had spoken, and he applies what Christ had spoken and has wrought in the time that he was here in the world. And also in our prayers and supplication, Paul, he said so clear in Romans 8 about the work of the Spirit, and he, likewise the Spirit also, helps our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. And he that searches the heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And that is now all what we find in the first part of this catechism. What dost thou believe concerning the Holy Ghost? First, that he is true and co-eternal God with the Father and with the Son. And a necessity, congregation, to know something of that Spirit in our heart and in our soul. In the Hebrew language of the Bible, and in the Greek knowledge language, and in the Latin, of course in Latin, there we have a word that is almost the same as we have. In the Latin Bibles it is the Spiritus. We spoke about the Spirit and the Ghost. But all those words, they come back to one word, to breath, or breathe and blow. You read in John 20 that Christ, he was breathing the Holy Spirit in the apostles after the resurrection. And then they received the Spirit, but then there was no missing something. And what was no missing? Christ, he said, stay in Jerusalem till that you shall receive the power of the Holy Spirit. They have already received the Spirit after the resurrection, but now the necessity that they receive the power of the Spirit. And when they received the power of the Spirit, then they became so free and so bold, they were in the day of Pentecost not afraid for the devil. Augustine, he wrote once, he said, I have always wished, but he knew it was impossible, but he said, I have so many times thought in my heart, and a desire that I could hear as Peter on the pulpit said, on the day of Pentecost. And you can realize that, with what a power of the Spirit, that man was standing there, in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he had a sword in his hand, and he cut that ear of Malchus up, right? And Christ picked it up and he healed it, and there was sharp left. They never could see Lucas to that ear, because it was off. It was perfectly cured and healed, perfectly. But now, on the day of Pentecost, then he had another sword in his hand, and that was the sword of the Spirit. And then he cut 3,000 people in one day, 3,000. And they were pricked in their heart, and they said, men and brethren, what must we do to be saved? What a blessing and what a fruit that man had upon his limbs. Right? The Holy Spirit, that is a person. We can also grieve the Spirit and sin against the Spirit. Maybe another time that we can talk more about it, because the time is so far spent, we have to stop for this evening. I hope it is a different sermon as this morning. But of course, I know that also a congregation that need instructions out of the Word of God and based on our doctrine, that is also necessary. I hope that a few words of this evening for that cause be blessed and be sanctified to our hearts, that we meet sometime young and old here. Oh, ask the Lord for that. By day and by night. We cannot pick it up and bring it in our heart. But it is a spirit that quickens, and it is a spirit that makes alive. Boys and girls, that your eyes were opened for the emptiness of this world and of this life. And what a ruination that we bring over ourselves by day and by night, walking after the spirit of the world. But now the necessity to receive the Holy Spirit in our heart. And then we shall know sin, and we shall hate sin, and we shall flee after righteousness, and then we shall have a desire to walk in the ways of the Lord. I hope the Lord sanctify it to your heart, whether that we shall see one another next Sabbath day, we don't know. But old, young and old, the Lord prepare us to meet him in righteousness and in peace. And children of God, that we this evening have heard what is lacking here, and that was bind upon our hearts, and that make us laboring at the throne of grace and no rest until that we have received the Holy Spirit in our heart. And when we receive him, he remains there for time and for eternity. Amen. Lord, bless thy word and testimony. Remember us in the week that lay before us. Strengthen each and every one. Parents and children, protect us on the road, in our homes, and where that we are. Look upon all of us in mercy and in compassion. Prepare us to meet thee in righteousness and peace. Remember our school and children and all those that teach there. Give them what they stand in need of, the right ways to teach the children, and that it bears fruit for time and eternity. Provide for the families also in their daily life, and give them the daily bread. Remember all of us in our work, and that we lay at a throne for one another time and again, and praying for the peace of Jerusalem. May everything well bring us safely home, that we may find it as that we have left it in this evening, and strengthen and sustain us, and forgive all our shortcomings. For Christ's sake only, amen. Number 142. God be merciful to me, and thy grace I rest my plea. And what follows? 142. as a request of the family Vanderwoud, I have to announce to you that Tuesday afternoon, 1:30, that the funeral hope to be taken place by Zaagman. And this evening, the family is there already now from 9 to 9:30, from 8 to 9:30, and tomorrow 2 to 4 o'clock, and from 7 to 9. Tuesday evening I hope nog to preach here in the Holland language, the Lord willing. And the next Tuesday, 25, we hope to have no Bible class for the last time now in this season, Lord willing. Receive now the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up thy countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.